Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're going to begin today with a story about a family that has been helping people get back on their feet for the past 100 years, literally.
Of the 264 people injured by the bombs at the Boston Marathon last year, 16 of them lost limbs. Many of them are still learning to walk. Some are already running. And one, Adrian Hazlett Davis, is already dancing.
Family, friends, and the community are helping these people reclaim their lives. So is a Dorchester-based company called United Prosthetics. For the past century, four generations of the Martino family have run the company, fitting people with prosthetic limbs.
United Prosthetics has treated half of those who suffered amputations because of the marathon bombing, including Jeff Bowman, who lost both of his legs, and 8-year-old Jane Richard, who lost one leg. The company treats many other people who've lost limbs for a variety of reasons, from diabetes to motorcycle accidents.
That's about as nice a walk as you'll ever see on any amputee.
Paul Martino, president of United Prosthetics, watches 38-year-old Mark Waitkovich test his new prosthetic leg socket.
When I first had to learn how to walk, I concentrated on trying not to have a limp.
2 years ago, he lost his left leg, just above the knee, after a drunk driver crashed into him on his motorcycle. Waitkovich has always been active, so when he woke up after surgery, it was a tough pill to swallow. But both he and Paul Martino are pleased with his recovery.
Mark can do everything.
I can do a pistol, a one-legged squat.
I don't even dream about stuff like that because I know better.
Mark does a quick squat with his prosthetic leg sticking straight out, and he balances easily. Throughout the hour-long appointment, they joke and tease each other. Paul tells Mark to slow down. Mark tells him he's a big baby. It's more like family banter than a patient-caregiver consultation.
So he just comes in here and makes me look bad physically.
It's no excuse.
A CrossFit instructor, Mark Waitkovich doesn't make excuses. He's worked hard over the past 2 years to get to this point. And on this day, he's finally getting something he's wanted since the day he lost his leg.
He wants to run. So this is called the catapult. It's a foot specific for running.
The catapult looks like a big C curve. It's one of the prosthetic feet you might have seen runners use at the Paralympics. The design allows people to run much faster than they could with a normal prosthetic foot. Paul takes the catapult out of the wrapper and attaches it to Mark's prosthetic leg for the first time. Then Mark stands up.
Holy moly. Wow, that's weird.
As he learns to balance, his face lights up with a look of awe. Only a few square inches of this super light foot are actually touching the ground, supporting him. He takes his first steps, scraping his new foot along the ground.
See, sometimes
it's hard,
you get a step.
It's hard to walk like a normal step without it.
It's not a normal step.
Right.
Because you have no heel toe on this. This is all toe.
Mark is used to applying pressure through his leg so that his foot hits the ground heel to toe. Now he has to learn a new way to walk, essentially just on his toes. Mark is practically giddy with the possibilities.
Once we get some grass, run on the grass. Fun.
Yeah, don't run right now.
No.
Right now, just walk.
We're good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because that it is anchored, it is strong,
yep.
But it's not 100%. We didn't want him to key in on being an amputee or walking with these components. We wanted Mark to put it on and go and do what he had done before, obviously with a little moderation, but those are your goals, to get them back to work and back to that CrossFit or whatever it is that makes them more comfortable and makes their life become, I hate to say normal, but back to what it was. I don't like the word normal. I like you're returning them to the lifestyle that they always knew.
On the second floor of United Prosthetics, the workshop looks remarkably low-tech. There are workbenches with vices holding prosthetic limbs in various stages of completion. Chris Martino, Paul's son, is the business manager here, the fourth generation of Martinos to work in the family business. So how different is what's going on in here than what your great-grandfather did 100 years ago?
So it's entirely different. This process didn't even exist. These sockets, instead of being made out of the materials you're seeing here, which are plastics, foams, acrylics, and carbon, they were made out of wood, strictly out of wood. And it started as a large block, and it had to be hogged out or, you know, scored out to fit that person. It was a long process.
After last year's marathon bombing, eight of the survivors who lost limbs ended up here. Chris and Paul Martino say for the most part they treat the marathon survivors the same way they care for their other patients.
The challenge for us wasn't so much providing the prostheses. We see this kind of thing every day. We deal with traumatic amputations daily. So the hardest challenge in this case was setting the expectations for this population.
What's the most important sort of advice you give folks when they first come in here?
Probably the first thing I say is, we're the face of reality here. You may see other amputees walking and running in races, but everybody's different. Everybody has different levels of amputation. Everybody has different bodies. You know, sometimes people have expectations beyond. You know, my grandfather always told a story of a person who came in with the loss of a hand, and they put an arm on him and a hand on that arm, and then the person said, well, will I be able to play the piano? My grandfather said, could you play the piano before? And the guy said, no. So just because you have a prosthesis doesn't mean you're going to do things differently or better.
You know, the cliche is you need to crawl before you can walk.
Right.
And it's very real.
Yeah.
I'd love to ask you what it means to you when you see someone come in here in a wheelchair, and I don't know, a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, they're standing at full height and walking.
This is a job. I've been doing it a long time.
Paul talks about his work in a straightforward way, as if it's just a job. But spend a little time with him, and it's clear that it's much more. Is there one particular story that you're most proud of or that made you feel the best all the years that you've been doing this? In terms of how you saw someone recover?
You know, do different individual ones stick out? Yeah, you know, when I was younger, I had younger amputees, and some of them didn't live.
Oh, man, you got them. Oh, man, that's rare.
It sounds like a lighthearted moment that delighted Chris. But what happened was this. As his father, Paul, started to describe one of his patients, he choked up. His eyes welled with tears, and he left the room. Do you know the story he was going to tell?
Matthew Christian. Paul can tell you more specifically. He was born without both arms and legs and a tongue. And he lived a fruitful life, used prostheses to the fullest. He passed away in his 20s, mid-20s, I believe. Paul was a large part of Matt's life and vice versa. Is that
Paul,
what you're going to talk about?
Paul, thanks.
It's always
for,
one.
No,
sorry.
No, yeah, you don't have to apologize, and I'm sorry if I put you on
the spot.
But obviously it's such important work that you do, and you touch people in ways that are huge here. So
yeah, you know, he was kind of young.
Yeah.
We took measurements off my children as he grew because he was bilateral.
Yeah.
So we tried to make him the same height as his brother and other children of that age.
Paul, let me ask you about the folks you've helped in the wake of the marathon bombing. Half of the people who lost limbs got help from you. What's that meant to you? Or talk about that challenge in any way that you can.
You know, I didn't look at them any different than anybody else that comes through the door. Mm-hmm. It was good to get them up as quick as we did. I will say that we try to do that with everybody, and I don't want to belabor a point, but unfortunately insurances today don't allow us to do that. We did have a free hand with all these people. So we could move very quickly.
You had a free hand because they had financial help, you mean?
In a lot of instances, it was just donations. Mm-hmm. And you could move quickly because you didn't have to worry about the finances or paperwork that we generally have to go through with each individual. So we could move quicker. We could get them up and ambulatory and fit with a lot of high-end componentry.
Modern prosthetics cost tens of thousands of dollars, which brings us back to Mark Waitkovich and his new catapult foot. Mark is an athlete, but the catapult is not covered by his insurance. Again, Paul Martino.
Insurances today are very tricky, and they're going back to saying we'll give this person componentry that will allow them to ambulate and do what they have to do, but nothing special. This is considered a little bit over and above just ambulation.
So the Martinos fought for Mark. They connected him with one of their suppliers, a company called Freedom Innovations. As someone in great physical shape, Mark agreed to test new equipment for the company. And in return, he receives equipment from them, in this case, his new foot. Mark says it's one of the many ways United Prosthetics has helped.
I like these guys. They're nice. Anytime I got a problem, I have his personal cell phone number. It gets me right in.
This is not just a product that we're selling or we're handing out. There's an intimacy to all of this.
Again, Paul Martino of United Prosthetics, who talks about the family business as much more than just a job.
But you always remember that you're dealing with another individual whose circumstances have put them in not so much your care, but have brought you together. And in that coming together, you think about things a lot. You think about if you've done the right thing by them. And that can be whether you've fabricated a device or you just sat there and chatted with them and listened to what they had to say and gave them your opinion.
Part healthcare provider, part advocate, part confidant. It's all part of the job for Paul Martino and the rest of his family at United Prosthetics as they help get people back on their feet.
What a great story. We'll have more of the show in just a moment. I'm Megan Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.